Hi, this is Lori Moylov with the Limitless Podcast. We're all about limitless creativity here. And I have such an amazing creative with me today, Susan Johnston, who is not only a creator, festival director, she's also a casting director. She's just an amazing woman with many hats. And she's also a media futurist. I was wondering, can you go into what that is and how you coined that?
Lori, thank you so much for having me on the show. And it's so great to see you. And thank you for all the wonderful words that you said. So a media futurist to me, right, could be a different definition for someone else. And it actually was given to me when I was on the circuit speaking about the future of media. They said, well, you're a media futurist. And I said, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
So basically what it is it's more for me, I create things that don't exist. So I see two needs and I build the bridge that brings them together. I'll give you a simple one. A simple one is I'm a judge for the Emmys, the Blue Ribbon panel, which is before the general Emmys committee gets to vote on them. I've been doing it since 2010.
Wow.
And so, you know, when web series started becoming a big thing, I'm like, oh, because I came from, you know, film and TV and the music video days. There were those three channels, so to speak, streams or whatever. Verticals. And so what I did was I said, someone has this content that really should be nominated for an Emmy. I can't save the whole world. They need to do it themselves. So how can I create something that makes it easy for them to connect? And so what I did was I had to look at the bylaws, you know, I had to legally figure out what I could do that wasn't a conflict. And so I created Emmys Consulting with Broadcasting.
Wow.
But we offered it as a perk to someone who submitted to the festival. So that meant you didn't have to be a nominee, right? Because you could make something great that just isn't a right fit for our festival for whatever reason. It could be a strange reason, it could be a valid reason. And so we actually helped people. And so what that means is, so I'll give you an example. There was Christopher Ruan who created an app, an augmented reality app. He took paintings and then the app turned them into three-dimensional holographics where they came in front of you. And so, but they were educational, they were artistic, they were engaging. So I said, how many do you have of these? And he said, well, you know, he only submitted one to the festival. Of course, that was submitted, that one, right? It was actually a postcard that ended up coming to life. So
that's
this postcard on a beach with this old couple holding hands ended up becoming the waves, the sand, the seagull, the people. And so I'm like, how many do you have of these? And he said, nine. And I said, all right. I said, string them all together. But we need to sort of, to me, story is ABC, you know, or beginning, oh, something happens, turns around and resolve. Kind of similar with the song, right?
Yeah.
And again, I'm just telling you my experiences in life. I tell people choose what works for you from mine. Hopefully some does, maybe all of it does, maybe none of it does. I am not telling you how to do something. I am sharing with you what has worked and what hasn't for me. That's what, you know, makes me happy. So so we strung those together. And so now we had a series. So now I could submit the series for an Emmys, but that meant I had to broadcast it within this certain window. Guess what?
Wow.
I can broadcast in under an hour.
Wow.
Like I literally can get something broadcast in under an hour if I have to. So
that's crazy.
What we did. Now we submit. Well, it's crazy, but okay. So there were things that are easy for me, right? There were things that are not easy for me. So this is very easy for me. And it's fun for me because I built something that didn't exist. I just love doing that. And I do that a lot.
Yeah.
I just built something that's going to be announced in 3 days.
I can't wait.
Well, it's a do-it-yourself marketplace.
Oh, cool.
Because, so I started distribution years ago, distribution opportunities. Okay. So that meant building relationships, learning, figuring it out. Who did I want to work, not work with? Because,
right.
You could give it to them, but if they're not going to pay you out, why bother giving it to them? So anyways, I learned a lot, but what I really learned about was, and it's okay, but a lot of creators don't want to let go, right?
Yeah.
This is my baby. This is my film. And I'm like, okay. So for all those people, and they may not be controlling like that, but for all those people that just want to do it themselves, I don't need to help you. Like, I don't need, first of all, I do not want to hold your hand, but what I provided before didn't work for them. And so I said, okay, what about those people on the Island of Misfit Toys? My favorite scene in the Santa Claus Rudolph. I go, let me go help them. Because the reason why I say let me go help them is because they need to make money on their content. Mm-hmm. Well, if they want to get defensive with me or they don't want to work with me because they don't understand, they don't want to take the time to figure it out, I'm going to be like, okay, I don't have that time to give you because I've got all these other people I have to help. So I don't know how to explain what got me there. But basically, the newsletter is going to come out. You can also go on our website. It's there now. Now at the top, there's the button, submit, you know, festival media about us. And then there's market. So you click market. All you need, I think, is a name, an email. I don't think you need a phone number, but it's, well, it's because you're dealing with intellectual property. So you need to know, I mean, we need your name and we need your email, right? So you're going to go in and then you're going to go into this online market and you're going to choose buyer or creator. I don't like seller because you're a creator, right? And so the good news about this is buyers are going to start making without me involved. So now you're in. So once you load up, you know, your SEO, your logline, your poster, who cast and crew and who worked on it, right? Mm-hmm. It's out there for everybody else in the world who for the last 2 years has had to pivot and now is streaming. I mean, we've some die, like Winter Sun TV did a beautiful job and then they had to go, they closed. That's fine. You get your content back, you get whatever money's owed. And because it's all online, it's you know, you're not mailing physical hard drives, et cetera. So people are going to stop making offers on to you. And then in this do-it-yourself marketplace. And so, I mean, obviously I would discern for them. I'd negotiate for them if it was under our agreements, but that's fine. So you could volley back and forth. You could determine, you know, if you like the deal or don't like the deal or negotiate, but you can also do your own research. You can look at who made you the offer, open up another browser and then Google them. You know, and I found people that, you know, I was like, yeah, I don't want to send content to them.
Yeah. Yeah. The interesting thing you mentioned was about research and doing your research. Can you kind of like talk about a little bit, go more into like depth on what that process is in research, especially in the creative space? If you're a filmmaker, a storyteller, and you're trying to get your story sold, how best do you approach the research and how do you navigate that and creating the right connections?
Well, I don't know if you saw all the images that went through my head. Because I've been in the business a long time, I mean, literally, I was 13 years old in a bar in front of a steel guitar doing a light show. I'm not kidding. Okay? But I could hear the people at the bar saying they were a producer and they're trying to work it, you know, to get the girl or something or the guy. And you're like, oh my God, they're so not legit, you know? So how do you determine someone's legit? It's very hard. Yeah. I'll give you a couple of examples. So anybody can make a postcard. Anybody can make an IMDb profile. Obviously IMDb, you can read by the titles if, you know, no system is perfect.
Okay? Yeah.
so no system is perfect, but you can do arrest records, bankruptcies with the person's name. You can, but that doesn't mean it's real information either. I come up with family members that I've never heard of. I've come up with people that I'm not related to. So sometimes you just pick up the phone. You know, you're working on, like, I remember this producer said to me as a casting director, he said, how well do you know this actor? And I said, I don't. I said, I just, you know, I mean, I hire him for films. He shows up, he does a good job and he goes home. Well, he picked up, so he looked up on, and said, oh, he worked in this film. I know. So he called that guy and he goes, I think I may have a problem. Have you had a problem with that person? Wow. So we do call each other.
Yeah.
I do sort of keep files, like I code things red, yellow, and green, but mostly red. If there's someone that's like a red flag, I'll say red flag because there's too many people in this business and you'll forget years later. So Google isn't the end all be all. I mean, there's Safari, there's Mozilla, there's Edge. Google, unfortunately, I think their algorithms, I'm going to say, are fixed, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want, go to page five. You know, go to page five and you start digging a little deeper.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example. I had a Zoom call this week because I do consult with people. Uh-huh. And this person was trying to get out of their local community and go bigger. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, let me see what you have. So I'm researching, I'm processing, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're only as strong as your weakest link.
Yeah.
And if you know, and you're only as safe as the person who's telling the truth on a set, mm-hmm. Because that's how, you know, producers make decisions. That's how everybody makes a decision. So we're mm-hmm. following that. So I looked and I went, oh my gosh, they have a legit IMDb profile.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, their rating was better. Because it said you know seven similar people. Mm-hmm. And so I looked up my friend who I know mm-hmm. who's yeah. been in the business over 20 years and is really legit. Mm-hmm. And his IMDb score was would make him not as legit as this person.
Oh wow.
And I learned yesterday. I mm-hmm. went and I even told this person, I go, oh my gosh, you look legit. You've got to get out of your, you've got to break your own barrier because
yeah.
you're telling me you want to get out. You're already out. Like if mm-hmm. I'm doing research on casting and no one has a profile and mm-hmm. you have this, I'm going to say you're legit. But by mm-hmm. talking to this person basically said no to everything. Done that, mm-hmm. done that, didn't work. Done that, didn't work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I also had the conversation that, you know, we're on set 12 to 16 hours.
Yeah.
A day. You got to tone down the no, 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 no. You know, you've got to observe, you know, offer help if it's appropriate, if it's an independent film and craft services is carrying something mm-hmm. too heavy and you're not needed, you know, and you're not in the line of crossfire of people walking and sets being moved and points and stuff. Would you like some help?
Yeah.
You know, so it's really a social thing. It's mm-hmm. it's an understanding of behaviors. Listen, I don't always get it perfect, but I do know that you need to behave well. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not perfect. I haven't always behaved well, but I've said no to contracts. I've mm-hmm. said no to more money than most people. And it's because I did my research, but mm-hmm. I'll tell you what some of my research is. Some of my research is just sitting like this and looking. Mm-hmm. Are their eyes going in 900 million directions? Are they looking right at me? What's their body language saying? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like,
yeah.
it's so many different things. And then if you're in the business long enough, like me, you'll get phone calls. Mm-hmm. I had a friend call me up and say, yeah, I know who you're meeting. I'm going to tell you this about them.
Yeah.
And I go, okay. Now I already set the meeting through another friend. So I had to go, right? Mm-hmm. I had to go. Sometimes you just don't want to ruffle the feathers because what I've learned, I guess, in life and in this business, because we can apply mm-hmm. it to, you know, relationships.
Yeah.
Is you may not like someone for a valid reason, mm-hmm. but whoever likes them.
Yeah.
So they don't understand why you don't like them. And it happens in business. So mm-hmm. just this past 2 weeks, so I've got over 2,500 streaming platforms. Mm-hmm. That's kind
wow.
of a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. That's why I type fast.
I always was wondering when I was seeing you.
What?
You're always typing so fast. Like I just remember even at like media services, yeah.
Oh, interesting. I type yeah. over 95 words a minute.
Wow.
So my brain goes in, it goes. So, but this was really interesting. So you can geo-block countries in distribution, mm-hmm. right? In rights and music. So the same mm-hmm. goes for music, same goes for books, same goes for, you know, video content. Mm-hmm. And people have to understand, please start protecting your own IP, intellectual property. Mm-hmm. You as a person, what you do, what you think, and what you type and what you click is your identity and your intellectual property. Stop giving it away with the, I understand metaverse and I understand
yeah.
you know, apps on your phone, but you do have to be careful. Let's be selective. So let's go mm-hmm. back to this, what I learned again this week. And again, remember, I've been in the business since I was a little kid. I am no longer 20. I haven't been 20 for a long time. So that's a lot of years. So this week I noticed that one of the titles is on a platform that I don't want to do business with. So I reminded that platform who licensed it to that platform, which is fine when it's non-exclusive because I didn't put a block on it. But I had a conversation via email with that person a year prior and said, you know, I really don't want to do business with this company. Please geo-block me. Well, he either told me and I didn't remember or I didn't read it or it wasn't clear, but I thought he geo-blocked me. So he didn't think he was doing anything wrong. But he asked me, why don't you want to put your content on that platform? And my content means like the hundreds of people that, or, you know, however many we're distributing. And I said, because I don't trust him. Well, who's him? The owner. If I don't trust the owner, I'm not giving you the goods. I'm just not. And you know what? I have to tell you, I was right. Because in the last year, that company pivoted. And so instead of truly being a distribution company, so we're truly a festival that offers opportunities. So distribution is kind of a sideline, but it's important. It takes a lot of time. So we have team members that work on it. But now he took his distribution and he's turning it into a festival.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, I thought that was interesting. And I thought it was also deceiving.
Yeah.
Because he's not that I know of, he's not giving any money guarantee, which is money up front. Different story. Right.
Yeah.
Again, going on relationships and people that like that, those kind of people are going to like that. They're probably thinking it's very clever. It's a new way to do a business model. But I look at it like, from my experience of the 12 years of distributing, that no, you want to save your exclusive possibility for the person who's going to give you lots of cash up front on and on a back end. And then if it's non-exclusive, you don't want them to be making money off your content by building a separate business, because I don't know how that benefits you. Like, I don't know how your distribution company screening you as part of a festival that they're marketing to get more people to submit, that you're not making a percentage of their business model. I don't see how that helps you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, let's talk about festival strategy, which is the same thing as music strategy. Because I was in music for 15 years. My dad was a musician and my grandfather was a big band leader.
Wow.
So I grew up in a very musical family. So they kind of are all the same. But you have to choose, right? You have to choose who you are, what you want to be to the world. You can always change, but you have to have a direction, right?
Yeah.
And if you give the store away, there's no like, and I hate the words, but they're old, sex and sizzle, right? You sort of need sex and sizzle to get it out there. It's like a marketing strategy. Sexy could be, you know, first non-astronaut taking a spacewalk. That's sexy.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
What's the sizzle on that? Who did that? You know? So that's why the strategy I just told you about that company, what they're doing, I think it depletes the creator's viability to monetize. And the whole point of distribution is to monetize. So I don't like it when I feel someone is taking advantage of, you know, a creator's situation.
Yeah.
You know?
And my one question going into creators and filmmakers and storytellers is, your festival, New Media Film Festival, is all about telling those stories worth telling. For some of our creatives that are listening, how do they dig in and find that story that is worth telling that maybe they're, you know, ignoring or whatnot, or it's on the shelf, they have the script and, you know, it's been there for a while, but they just like, you need to find the right conduit, I guess.
So you actually just said the words. If it's hard to do, if it's on the shelf. So sometimes it's on the shelf because you're really not interested. Sometimes it's on the shelf because you don't want to go there. So the best stories are when you go there. And when you go there means it's not a one-dimensional side of what I call those, the standing on the pulpit movies. Like, mm-hmm. oh my God, they're standing on a pulpit and the whole entire story is this one track. Listen, I want to save the oceans every day of the week.
Yeah.
But, you know, you cannot hit me over the head with that. Give me a story. Give me a story about, you know, Admiral Paul Watson and his team members, you know, finding the Vaquita porpoise, you know, between Mexico and California. And, you know, and how, now watch this, right? Because everybody knows about these extinctions. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you know what someone did? I don't know if it was them or not. They showed the stories of the families in Mexico who the only way they could put food on the table was by doing the fishing that was catching these porpoises that are going extinct. So mm-hmm. they're like, I got to feed my family. Mm-hmm. So then to me, you need that person that wants to build the bridge between the two, right? Mm-hmm. Get that family food. Get that. I'm sure it's not as easy as I'm making it sound, but that was the story. The story was there are humans behind this that are either desperate or just that's their way of life. That's how they were brought up. I mean, mm-hmm. I just heard someone say they release paper lanterns into the sky. A culture mm-hmm. does.
Yeah.
And my first, and like how pretty it was. And my first thought was, oh my God, that can't be good for the atmosphere. I mean, my mouth didn't say it when I was younger. My mouth would have said it. My head said that. So I kind of laughed. So that's one example of a good story, right? It's mm-hmm. Actually, you can go. I mean, okay, I'll tell you what's a good story. So this was years ago. We actually had physical offices where we brought everybody in. We haven't had them, obviously. thank you, pandemics.
Yeah.
So, and what I love is we have all ages and we have all cultures. So not only in the films that are submitted, but in the people that help us or work with us. And so here there was like a, you know, little old grandma lady, and there was this, you know, guy from Africa, you know, teens and whatever. Mm-hmm. And we're all watching the movies. And on one of them, they all reacted. Like they just, yeah. and it was only, and it was a 3-minute film.
Wow.
And they all reacted. And I was like, and see, I even have goosebumps telling you about it. And so, and that's actually called Swing. It's an animation. And if you go to our YouTube channel, it's like way in the playlist of shorts. And obviously it's at the bottom because it's one of the oldest, but Swing. Mm-hmm. So in 3 minutes, they told this really engaging, profound story that all different cultures and all different ages loved. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, some are funny, some are profound, some you just have an experience with, mm-hmm. you know. But I'm an adventurer by heart. So show me something I haven't seen. Mm. And there used to be themes, like, you know, one year, you know, it felt like we constantly had films that came in with someone holding a gun. And then, you know, other years it was the eye, you know, it started with the eye. And, you know, so at some point you go, oh, please don't start the film with an eye. Please, please don't.
I think you've inspired me to start a film with an eye.
Do different ones.
Okay.
And then maybe try to match the eye with the face later. You know, things that, so the problem, and I know you know this because you write songs, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I've written songs and I you know, and I've actually, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a columnist.
I want to know.
Well, I'm a columnist for Rolling Stone.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so you'll have to tell us
about that.
Well, so but I didn't, so they asked me to write and I'm like, no, I don't want to write. And they're like, no, we want you to write. And I go, I can't write. And they said, why? And I said, well, because I know David Wilde. I have no idea if he's still a writer for them, but like, you know, he would go to award shows and be writing for Rolling Stone and interviewing Liv Tyler. I go, this is the man who makes his living writing. I go, I have friends who are trying to make their living writing. I go, right? I can't write. And so they said, well, we want your point of view. And I went, oh, which is kind of like what we're doing.
Yeah.
So I found my voice in telling points of view through the stories I've experienced. Like maybe the Christopher Ruan one with stringing things together, or the I've actually met Admiral Paul Watson at the United Nations conference on saving the oceans, and I was sitting next to him, and I didn't know who he was at the time, but he was kind of gruff. But he was gruff for a reason, because he's, you know, ramming Japanese fishing trawlers. But I listened, because I knew he was one of the co-founders of Greenpeace. Like, I knew that much. And so then I was like, oh, okay. So now here's all, so I understand all this backstory, all this history, right? A person like that, first of all, they don't need to tell you why they're thinking the way they're thinking. But once I heard what he said, I was like, oh, now I get it. So we're all a culmination of our experiences to date, right? Yeah. So I got off track somewhere. I don't know. I got off track somewhere.
I think because you were talking about, you know, how...
Oh, the stories.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm reluctant to say how to tell the story, because I don't want people to go, oh, she wants, she wants an unknown twist at the end. What I really want to know... oh, my gosh. Okay, so I want to know something I don't know. Okay?
Yeah.
And what I don't know is, I don't know how you think, what you've experienced, and what and I'm going to say a word that's coming to mind, catastrophically thrust you into the direction of X, Y, and Z. And it doesn't have to be drama. It could be comedy. Like, there was one time when I was taking comedy classes, and the woman said I was good at stand-up comedy. And I'm like, I absolutely positively do not want to relive these moments that are funny, because I'm not living them right now, but I don't want to say them again.
Yeah.
You know, they're basically my family upbringing. And so, yeah, they don't all have to be sad, but, let me just use Sex and the City, for example. Okay. I'm not saying it's my favorite show. It just happens to be out now. My friend just mentioned it this morning, because apparently some woman quoted something to me, and he said, oh, he said she grabbed that from Sex and the City. So the point is, Sex and the City is in the conversation of quite a few people right now for many different reasons. But why is that story popular? Because we're living the lives of other people in a place we either want to visit, or we've lived and bring back fond memories, right? We've got characters that have flaws, that are working through those flaws, that are showing us humanity, right? And hopefully sometimes the good side of humanity, right? Because, you know, I just said this during the holidays. I said, well, I may not always have... this is what I said. I said, I have done the best I can with what I've had every step of the way, even if I was less than what was expected. I said, but what I do know is that every day, every moment of every day, I strive to be better. And I do that by assessing, right? Oh, I swore too much. I could tell that person's body language didn't like that. Oh, note to self, don't swear around them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or I'm loud. And as hard as it was, I already went softer. As hard as it was, I could tell that when I went into a room loud, it affects some people negatively. Now, I don't want to change who I am as a human being, but if I'm going over to someone's house for the holidays and it's their house, well, maybe I shouldn't be so loud, you know?
Yeah.
So again, I'm just using Sex and the City because it's in the lexicon now. I'm not saying anything good or bad about it, other than there are four people in that show mainly that are showing us sides of humanity that we can relate to in ourselves and others.
Yeah.
And then I love the futuristic shows. And I know it's so strange, but I never saw Future World. And Future World, I had the TV on last night because I was like a mad woman on the computer with this, this new market we're doing. And I'm like, I need white noise. But then I kept going over to the TV because Future World was about humans creating robots. But they were basically cloning humans with, as if they were a robot, but they encoded their DNA in there. So then they had the new one kill the technical real one. And the reason why is because because someone in power, you know, said, well, you know, humans are flawed. Well, that's kind of the beauty of being human.
Yeah. It's the flaws. I totally agree with you, because I feel like some of the best songs or the stories that do touch us, it's about these characters. And most of them that we really fall in love with are so flawed.
Let's talk about Up for a minute. Like, there was a dog.
Yeah.
Squirrel, you know, and how many people, you know, squirrel, you know? So it's just like, that's what I mean. They're moments. Like, that's a truthful moment in life. But someone, you know, knew to take it and capture it. And it was authentic and it was real and it was funny. And so many people related to it, you know?
Something that resonated that you said was, you know, that truth, that the truthful moment in life. And I feel like that's kind of what we're craving to see, especially in our content, is we want to see, you know, some of these moments of truth. And I think like that leads me into acting and whatnot, is how, you know, being that you're a casting director and you're looking for, you know, talented new actors and, or, you know, casting ones that are seasoned, what are some of the things I guess you look for? Is it because they resonate that truth to the story? How do you fill that role? You know, some of our listeners are actors and actresses that, you know, are looking to be casted. So I guess maybe some advice you have for these creatives.
So there's quite a few different directions. Yeah. I'll try to consolidate it. So one, it's show business. Mm-hmm. You need to know the business side, business acumen, show up on time, be polite. You know, like in the waiting room, when there were waiting rooms, now it's all self-tape.
Yeah.
You know, how you signed in, were you polite to the receptionist or not? Did you talk in the waiting room? Did you study your sides, or were you painting your fingernails? Like, you know, the second, like, did you bring your troubles with you? Right. That's all business stuff. Yeah. Then when you come in the room, again, I learned things too through the process. Some stories just came through my head that we don't need to repeat right now. But the point is how do you enter the room? Are you like one girl was trying to seduce the producer, you know, just through her eyes and stuff. To me, that's not in a business side of it. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he was quite flattered by it. Sometimes I have to tell, one time I had to tell the director, I said, you know, yeah, no, you're a little awkward when you do this. Please don't do that. It makes the actors uncomfortable. And he was just so excited that he would just like, oh, but I'm like, no. Bite your tongue, just sit there, hold your hands, and just let them do their thing. Other things like talent self-sabotage a lot. So there was one time I was casting a vampire film and I really liked this woman. And so I asked her to do it a different way. So 99% of the time, 99, when I'm asking you to do it a different way, it's because I want to see if you take directions. Because guess what? A director is going to be directing you. And if they can't direct you, you lose time and money on set. Right. Plus, it's
so
not
true.
Plus, it's not a pleasant day. Do you know what she actually said to me? She had her sides and she went, well, the part's for an older person anyways. You're a vampire. You're a vampire. She would, you know, she would have definitely gotten a call back had she not done that, you know. So whatever her issue was with age, and yes, the, and you're all going to know who it is because she's my friend anyways. But so there's an Oscar there's an Oscar nominated actress who is above 60. And there was a vampire that had a child with a youngin. And she, but the vampire we wanted did look more that human's age. And God love this woman. So she, you know, she basically pitched herself that, look, there's a woman in the news right now that's 54 years old or something having a child. And I go, okay, come in. You want to read for that? You want to read for that one? Read for that one. But I'm going to ask you to read for the other one because that's the one the director wants you to have. You know, so you play both sides of the fence. So I gave you a lot of that sort of stuff, the show business side of it. Yeah, you know when they do it. Like, and again, I have to learn too. There's there was a host, I think his name was Mike. I was casting up and he was on like the Jobs, he was hosting the Jobs show. He was very, very popular at the time. And he walks in, I go, your agent sent you in for this? Like, I literally could have just had him self-tape. And he goes, yeah, well, while you're here, let's do it. He goes, yeah. He goes, I don't know why you're here. I go, well, you're good. So just stand there and let's start reading. So he starts reading and I cut him off. And he goes, why are you cutting me off? I go, because I've got enough of you on tape. I said, go home. Like, I don't need you to do the whole thing. And so I did that with someone else, a different role. And I called them to say, hey, you got the role. And he goes, I didn't think you liked what I did. And I said, why not? He said, well, you ended the scene early for me. And I said, oh, that's because you were really good. So see, I learned that I needed to let them do the whole process that they prepared that I gave them the slides for.
The question now, like, I guess, you know, as we wrap up is maybe... I know our listeners, we're all creatives. Everyone's a creative. I guess what is some of the key points and things that you have learned through your experience, you know, being a film festival creator, director, casting, now also a columnist at Rolling Stone, Emmy judge. What is like the key core thing like to help creatives to keep going? Like what is it like, what is it that like, is something that inspires you to keep going and doing the work you do? And how does that kind of correlate and help these other creatives who are kind of so thirsty for, you know, pushing that story, whether it's a film or a book or a poem or a song?
Thank you, Lori, for that. So I think yay for creatives, right?
Yeah.
Because creativity really just makes your heart sing. So create, 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 but also be open to, that your creativity may take you in a different direction, that it's okay to look at opportunity and it's really okay to say no, right? That you have to, sometimes what you wish for may not be really what you want, right? Not everyone can handle fame and stardom. Not everyone can handle mass quantities of money coming in at all times. And not everyone has good enough boundaries to understand the cycle. Fans, you know, the people that just circle around you because they want to either be you or be a part of you versus just saying, let me figure this out and do it myself. Couple of things. So sure, have I had my ideas borrowed, stolen? Yes. That's why I'm into intellectual property now. It was a force of nature. Everything's copywritten or trademarked, and you have to police. You have to shut. It's called police. You have to shut them down. Oh, I know, really cool name, but we have a trademark. You know, this is a cease and desist, or whatever. So, copyright. So what I want you to do is if you're creative, you need to know that that is intellectual property. And there are inexpensive ways to protect yourself. I know you can mail it back to yourself. Not always good, but why not? It's a stamp. If you had to choose between WGA or the federal government, I would take the federal government because WGA is just doing writers. They're saying what writer did what. Government is saying who owned the property. And of course, they expire after so much time. I actually was going to hire my neighbor who was a trademark attorney. He said, nope, you can do it yourself. And you can. Sure, is the back end ugly? Absolutely. You know, it's arduous. But I paid $300 or $400 versus like $5,000. So what was the couple of hours? Yeah. So you can protect yourself, especially now with the internet and these little tutorials. I do think that try new things because we'll go back to acting for a minute. When I would say to someone that was an actor, how are you? They would say, oh, I just got a call back. I just did this. I just did that. And I'm like, no, how are you? I went to see my aunt. She lives on Lake Sebago in Maine. Or, oh my gosh, I just saw the world's oldest Frito-Lay. Whatever. Right? It's a conversation. It takes us in a direction that goes in a different direction. It shows me you're human. If you're shy, I mean, you got the internet. I mean, you know, there are no excuses anymore. So, you got to find what's right for you. So, I mean, I have a DMX guitar. I now have an electric guitar and sure I could play them, but I'm not. I have a keyboard. I can play them. I'm not. I have a basket of percussion that I do play with every so often because I love it. So that still is there, but I also feel that I'm a different version of me I mean, I've performed in front of 15,000 people many times. I've had songs that other people have recorded or have gone national or have given away. So I'm really proud of those moments, but I don't feel like I need to hold on to them anymore. Would I love to collaborate with someone and do it again? Yes, but that opportunity hasn't showed up. Opportunities to help other people through their stories has shown up. So maybe that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, it is because I'm in my 13th year. But anyways, that being said, I still do other things, right? I'm going to go to China in 2 years. You know, I'm executive producer on a TV show that's supposed to be filming in Scotland, you know, at the end of the year. I'm actually in consideration to be in a reality show. So, you know, I still have things going on. But I talk to different people the way they sort of want to hear it. You know, like I have friends that are into holistic medicine. So I talk to them about quantum, you know, waves and energy. Or, you know, if you're talking to a surfer, you talk to them about, oh, do you like the Pacific Ocean better or the Atlantic Ocean? Or where have you surfed? What's your favorite wave? All right. So you know nothing about surfing. Doesn't matter. You're going to learn and you're going to have a conversation and you're going to grow and your acting's going to be better. So, I know that the world's opening up, so actors can audit any teacher's class. So I recommend that if you have no money, you line up all the teachers, you know, one a week or one a month, and go audit their class and just listen to how they work and take some tools for yourself. You know, go in and watch how others are behaving and see what you think is professional and is not, right? So your craft doesn't just have to be getting the audition. Your craft could be, you know, go be an audience member on a TV show. You get paid $20. It's not the money, but, and I understand you have to balance free things with making money, but I'm trying to tell you, get out. Why do you think I was a focus puller? Why do you think I sewed someone's dress on while they were in it? It's because I wanted to learn the other aspects of the business, which makes me a better person on set. You know, I'll share with you, Johnny Wackerman is a drummer. He's recorded a couple of songs with me. We also broke into his brother's recording studio to record one of them. I can say it because it's past 7 years. But Johnny Wackerman said to me, and he's what they call a mofo drummer, and he has you know, deals and stuff like that. He said, every single day, no less than 15 minutes. Every single day. Now, 15 minutes isn't a lot of time, but if you're procrastinating, it's a lifetime. But the point is, he's not the only one who's successful that said 15 minutes a day. I mean, if you ask me, I'm working 12 hours a day on the festival, but I don't look at it like just a festival. I look at it like this global community of ways in which great stories are out there, because if great stories aren't out there, what do you have? Non-great stories. And we are the stories that we read, we write, we watch, we share. We are. So you got to kind of pick and choose. And all I can say is there's just, you've got to do it. So say you're an actor, do table reads, offer to read for a casting director. If you're a writer, you know, find a free platform that, you know, you can go, hey, I need 10 actors in Chicago. I'm going to buy some pizza. I'll have 10 copies of scripts. Now you've met 10 people. You know, one's going to be a narrator. They're going to be the host because we need more hosts in the world because it seems to be a click. You know, so, and then, you know, you're the actress that also is a writer and you say to them, hey, you know, I'm a writer as well. If you make the film, would you like one of my songs? You know, maybe give the first song away for like a student film, but then when it gets bought, you get money. So, and that's how it helps. I mean, one of the ways I started was I went to all the local universities in my area that had really good acting classes and I put myself on the list as an actor. Well, most of those students' films actually paid the talent. I mean, this was a long time ago, but it was $60 or it was $20 in food. And again, you can't do that all the time. But what that did was those students are the future content creators. Yeah. Those are the people you can grow with. Plus, you'll also have a demo reel, right? The other good news is a lot of things are self-taped now. So, you know, get a ring light, you know, I mean, try on different colors. Let me see, like, okay, hold on. This is paper, but, you know, I don't really look good in white. I don't. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I don't wear white when I'm on screen. So it's so simple to just, you know, check your video on a fake Skype and just keep changing clothes and see what your background is and see what the lighting is. And, you know, and when you self-tape, if you send one in that looks like this more than it does, you know, a handheld phone going like this, because, you know, it's hard to read and look at, you know, it's going to make all the difference. It's going to make all the difference. So, you know, get up every day and do what you love doing. Balance the rest out. And it's okay to not do it anymore. And don't say you're giving up. You're just taking a sabbatical. You're just taking a break. You're just trying other things. Because, you know, there was a time in the festival process that I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I didn't feel the love for it. And so I just want to step back, and then I found my love again by doing other things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I totally agree with that. Sometimes you have to, like, you're so immersed in it, and sometimes you kind of have to let it breathe and give it that space so that, you know, the passion and love can grow, you know, maybe even bigger than it was before because you took a moment away from it.
But here's one good, remember, I've been in the business a long time. There was a time when if you were a film actress, you were not a TV actress. And if you were a TV actress, you were not in a music
video. It's changed.
It has changed a lot. There was a time when you had to live in Los Angeles or you had to live in New York, right? Mm-hmm. Now you can submit and you can say, I will definitely fly in for the callback, or I can definitely be hired as a local. I can be a local hire. So there are ways for you to live in the periphery, but yet still be part of it. And I think the silver lining of COVID is that it's made the entire business understand that you can now live anywhere.
Yeah.
Where before that wasn't true. You had to pretend you even if you didn't. And take overnight flights, which I used to do. I used to take overnight flights and land and go do an audition and go and, you know, so.
Yeah, it's so interesting, you know, how technology has shifted things and talking about some of the things that I've gained from our chat today was, you know, research, do your homework, research. Also, you know, telling stories, there's so many ways to doing that and just staying true to yourself. You've dropped some amazing gems on us and I just want to inspire creatives to just keep going. And I guess if there's one word to end your episode with, what one word would you choose in inspiring these creatives who have limitless potential?
Love.
Love. Wow.
If you don't love yourself, you can't love others. And so it's okay. Or let me change the word, self-care.
Yeah.
Self-care. Because sometimes it's hard for people to understand that it's okay to love yourself, but you understand that self-care is brushing your teeth and taking a shower and taking some time off and eating a good meal, not junk food, and you know, and going, yeah, no, I don't really want to do that. So self-care.
Wow.
Which really is love.
Yeah. I love that. That's an amazing word. You know, we end off with love. And thanks so much, Susan, for being a part of the Limitless podcast. We love having
you.
Thank you
so much.
And I know our listeners are going to enjoy listening and tuning in. And one last question is, where can they find out more about the film festival and some of the things if they're like, oh, I have a headshot to give you certain things? How can they connect with you? How can, you know,
oh my gosh, more people come to you? That's so sweet of you. And I know this is going to sound weird, but because I do so many things, I just made websites for what I do.
Okay.
So casting is SusanJohnstonCasting.com.
Okay.
You want to get in touch with me for, like, you know, the consulting, the Rolling Stone stuff, SusanJohnston.com. Mm-hmm. The festival, New Media Film Festival.com. And so what I suggest is you just contact me through the one that you want to talk about, right? Mm-hmm. Just like I spoke earlier in the show and I said, okay, well, I talked to my surfer friends about surfing and I talked to my healing people about quantum medicine. I want you to talk to me through the website because when I get that email, it's going to be in Susan Johnston Casting. And if you start talking about the festival, it's going to hurt my brain.
Yeah.
Because my brain is in casting at that point. Mm-hmm. And they all have contact pages. So yeah, have fun.
Yeah.
NewMediaFilmFestival.com, SusanJohnston.com, and SusanJohnstonCasting.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Susan. And thank you to all these amazing creatives that are listening. You know, keep going. You don't stop, and keep connecting with other fellow creatives to keep inspired. So you're all limitless. Thank you so much, Susan.
Bye. Okay. Thanks, Maury.
Thank you.